Sam is a 68-year-old woman who has been referred to your clinic by her neurologist, who saw her for a complaint of headaches and occasional blurry vision. Ophthalmologic evaluation and CT scan of the head are normal. She goes on to explain that they're not sure what's causing these symptoms and that she's had several tests already. After reviewing her chart, you see that Sam has no past medical history and she does not drink alcohol or smoke. Her vitals are within normal limits and physical exam is remarkable only for splenomegaly. As you review the computer chart, you are startled by one of the results on her CBC. How could this platelet count of 950,000 have been missed? Hi and welcome to Audio Bricks. I'm Alex Dennis, and this is the break on essential thrombocythemia. Let's jump in. After completing this section, you'll be able to 1. Describe the characteristic blood and bone marrow findings in essential thrombocythemia. 2. Describe the typical presentation and clinical course of essential thrombocythemia. And 3. Explain why essential thrombocythemia is a diagnosis of exclusion. Before we jump into the details of essential thrombocythemia, let's back up for a little perspective. Essential thrombocythemia is one of a group of disorders called myeloproliferative disorders. These disorders share a lot of similarities. They occur in adults, they have relatively good prognosis, and they're caused by mutations in proteins involved in cell growth. The main thing that defines all of them is this: they have malignant, maturing myeloid cells filling up the bone marrow and spilling out into the blood. The predominant type of proliferating myeloid cell is different in each disorder, though. In essential thrombocythemia, the megakaryocytes are proliferating more than any of the other myeloid cell lines. These megakaryocytes make platelets, which spill over into the blood. So the blood has tons and tons of platelets in it. Bottom line, essential thrombocythemia is a chronic myeloproliferative disorder characterized by massive platelet production. Part 1. Blood and bone marrow findings. In essential thrombocythemia, there are tons of platelets in the blood, which is called thrombocytosis or thrombocythemia. The platelets range in size from small fragments to giant, bizarre-looking platelets. This range in different platelet sizes is called platelet anisocytosis. Other blood cells typically appear normal. Now, if you were to take a look at the bone marrow of a patient with essential thrombocythemia, you'd see that it is hypercellular, as it is in all chronic myeloproliferative disorders. But the unique thing about the bone marrow in essential thrombocythemia is the massive proliferation of megakaryocytes, which can be seen in large clusters throughout the bone marrow. At the end stages of the disease, the bone marrow may become fibrotic, similar to findings at the end stages of the other chronic myeloproliferative disorders. And just like that, we're ready for our first question. What two findings on blood smear are classic for essential thrombocythemia? Thrombocytosis and platelet anisocytosis are seen on peripheral blood smear of patients with essential thrombocythemia. Part 2. The JAK2 mutation in essential thrombocythemia. About 50% of cases of essential thrombocythemia are associated with activating mutations in the JAK2 gene. The JAK2 gene codes for a tyrosine kinase, which phosphorylates other proteins in the JAK-STAT signaling pathway to stimulate growth-promoting genes. The JAK-STAT pathway is present in many different cell types, including hematopoietic stem cells, where it mediates the process of cell growth. JAK2 mutations are also present in two other chronic myeloproliferative disorders, polycythemia vera and chronic myelofibrosis. It's not clear exactly why JAK2 mutations sometimes result in essential thrombocythemia and sometimes result in other myeloproliferative disorders. Either way, recall that chronic myeloproliferative disorders are similar and distinguished by the predominantly proliferating myeloid cell, so it should make sense that mutations in the same gene can cause them. Time for another question. What type of protein is encoded by the gene commonly mutated in chronic myelofibrosis? JAK2 codes for a non-receptor tyrosine kinase that stimulates cell growth. Part 3. Clinical course. Essential thrombocythemia is most common in elderly patients, but it also has a second, smaller peak of incidence in younger women. Many patients with essential thrombocythemia are asymptomatic and are diagnosed when thrombocytosis is found on a complete blood count done for other reasons. When symptoms are present, they are typically caused by excessive clotting or excessive bleeding. How is it that both extremes, bleeding and clotting, can be present in this disease? The excessive clotting is to be expected due to the abundance of platelets present. Excessive bleeding seems like a strange finding, because there are certainly enough platelets present. It's caused not by a lack of platelets, but by alterations in function of the von Willebrand factor, which is a protein that is necessary for forming blood clots. Some patients have episodic burning pain and redness in the distal extremities, a condition known as erythromelalgia. This finding may be seen in other disorders too, like polycythemia vera. In essential thrombocythemia, the cause is presumably the sludginess of the blood due to the massive number of platelets present. Following along, let's check with a question. What is the underlying mechanism causing erythromelalgia in a patient with essential thrombocythemia? Overabundance of platelets causing slow blood flow in small vessels. Part 4, a diagnosis of exclusion. Not all patients with thrombocytosis have essential thrombocythemia. Usually, when the platelet count is high, it's due to something other than essential thrombocythemia. So the first step to working through this diagnosis is to rule out other causes of secondary thrombocytosis. There are many conditions that can cause a secondary or reactive thrombocytosis, including infection, post-surgical status, malignancies, chronic inflammatory diseases, the post-splenectomy state, acute blood loss, and iron deficiency. If no secondary cause can be identified, then a primary bone marrow cause may be considered. Because essential thrombocythemia doesn't have any particularly diagnostic features, like the Philadelphia chromosome in chronic myeloid leukemia, for example, it is a diagnosis of exclusion. When the other myeloproliferative disorders have been ruled out completely, a diagnosis of essential thrombocythemia can be made. Let's see if you got that. What are some conditions that can cause a reactive thrombocytosis? Infection, post-surgical status, malignancy, chronic inflammatory diseases, splenectomy, acute blood loss, and iron deficiency can all cause a secondary thrombocytosis. Part 5, prognosis and treatment. While we discussed serious complications of essential thrombocythemia, such as hemorrhage and thrombosis, patients have a median prognosis of 12 to 15 years, which in many cases may turn out to be the patient's normal life expectancy. Studies have shown, however, that some patients may have other unrelated risk factors for bleeding or clotting that may increase their overall risk for morbidity or mortality. Some of these risk factors include age older than 60 years or a history of thrombosis. Patients who are younger than 60 years, have no history of thrombosis, and have a platelet count that is less than a million are categorized as low risk. If patients have symptoms of clotting, low-dose aspirin taken every day may manage symptoms related to clotting. Higher doses of aspirin are not recommended because it may swing the pendulum in the other direction and increase the risk of hemorrhage. Although clotting events may be an issue with essential thrombocythemia, it is not currently recommended to prescribe long-term anticoagulants. Patients who are in the high-risk category may be treated with agents such as hydroxyurea that suppress bone marrow production. Let's stop here for one last question. What drug may be used to prevent clotting episodes in patients with essential thrombocythemia? Low-dose aspirin is used to manage symptoms related to clotting. And that's all I have today on essential thrombocythemia. Let's see if we achieved our goals for this episode. Starting off with a broad one. What is essential thrombocythemia? Essential thrombocythemia is one of the myeloproliferative disorders in which the bone marrow overproduces platelets. The majority of cases involve a genetic mutation in the JAK2 gene. Next, what are characteristic findings in the bone marrow and on peripheral blood smear in patients with essential thrombocythemia? Clinical findings of this disease may include bone marrow that is hypercellular with an increased number of megakaryocytes. Peripheral blood smear may show an increased number of platelets and platelet anisocytosis. Next, what symptoms might patients with essential thrombocythemia present with? Patients with essential thrombocythemia will present with symptoms of small vessel congestion, such as headache, changes in vision, chest pain, or erythromelalgia. The major yet rare complications are large clots and excessive bleeding. What type of conditions should be excluded before considering making a diagnosis of essential thrombocythemia? Essential thrombocythemia is a diagnosis of exclusion because conditions such as infection, post-surgical status, or other malignancies may cause reactive thrombocytosis, so they should be excluded first. Next, what medication is used to prevent clotting events in patients with essential thrombocythemia? Treatment of symptoms should include low-dose aspirin. If a patient is at higher risk for serious complications, hydroxyurea may be given. And finally, what is the life expectancy for patients with essential thrombocythemia? Median prognosis is 12 to 15 years for these patients, which may be equivalent to the normal lifespan in those diagnosed at a later age. Armed with your newfound knowledge on essential thrombocythemia, let's think back to our patient from earlier in the episode. Sam was referred to you by her neurologist after a new onset of headaches and occasional blurry vision. Ophthalmologic eval and head CT were normal. Vitals are normal. She has no outstanding medical history. Her physical was remarkable only for splenomegaly, but her CBC revealed a platelet count of 950,000. What are you thinking in terms of diagnosis? How will you describe her condition to her? After the appropriate evaluation for secondary causes of this platelet elevation turns negative, you feel convinced that Sam has essential thrombocythemia. You explain to her that, due to a mutation in a gene that leads to the production of growth-promoting substances, her bone marrow produces too many platelets. This can cause the headaches and visual blurring she's experiencing. You further explain that in some cases, excess clotting or excess bleeding can occur and that there are few options for additional therapy. You prescribe low-dose aspirin and refer her to a hematologist to discuss the use of hydroxyurea. And that's a wrap on essential thrombocythemia. The big thing I want you to take away here is that essential thrombocythemia is a type of chronic myeloproliferative disorder. These are very similar because they all have proliferation of myeloid cells. What differentiates them is their most highly proliferative myeloid cell. If you enjoyed what you heard, make sure to like and subscribe to this podcast. Your feedback is super helpful to us. You can also get the full RxBricks experience online at www.usmle-rx.com. I will catch you on the next one.